Hello there, I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, Superintendent of Deer Valley Unified School District. Welcome to a brand new season of the award-winning Soup Scoop podcast. We're getting ready for another school year, and that means we're setting things up outside and inside the campuses. Later, we'll learn about the incredibly complex yet efficient ways the district keeps the classrooms cool in these hot, late summer months. But first, we'll meet someone who has gone from inside the principal's office to the district office, and is now back in the principal's office. DVUSD has 6 new-to-the-district principals, and we'll meet them throughout the next few months on this podcast. But Dr. Janet Gilbert, formerly of Mountain Shadows Elementary School, is now leading the way at Constitution Elementary School. Her experience and outlook on what makes a successful school environment can help inspire those new principals, as well as the Eagles at Constitution.
I am Dr. Janet Gilbert, and my educational journey started in kindergarten. No, I'm just kidding. We won't go back that far.
Way back.
So my educational journey as far as college goes, my most recent degree was in 2020 during COVID, which changed my whole study for my dissertation. So it was just a challenge, but I did get a PhD from Grand Canyon University, and I'm proud of it. It is in curriculum and instruction, so I love that piece of it. And then I have a bachelor's degree in elementary ed and master's degree in reading and early childhood, and then a second master's degree. Too many degrees. And then a second degree in administrative leadership.
So you're a professional student.
I that's what my dad calls me.
Yes.
Yeah. And
nice.
I love school. So
well, you had some experience here at Deer Valley prior. Talk a little bit about that. Yep. And maybe a park on Mountain Shadows.
Yeah. So I just finished my 20th year in Deer Valley. So exciting. And I came in from Washington School District. I did 8 years there as a teacher and then came in and taught a few years here. Within my first few years, though, I had lots of opportunities. So I was a developmental preschool teacher. I was a classroom teacher, taught kindergarten, first grade. I was a reading specialist. I was an instructional coach. And then I went on to be an assistant principal at West Wing for 2 years with Dr. Price Berry. And then I got the job at Mountain Shadows. So principal there for 11 years. So excited to be there. And we worked really hard over there to get things where we wanted it to be. Very proud of the time there. And then
brag a little bit about some of the things you accomplished there.
Lots of things. So when I was hired for Mountain Shadows, Chuck Hoover was here at the time. And he had said to me, they're doing this book thing called Leader in Me. Like, I don't know what that means, but I see things on the wall. Like, can you go over it? So we actually went over and took it and kind of ran. And so we were really proud to become a Leader in Me Lighthouse School with that. And in conjunction with that work became the PLC work.
What's PLC? That sounds like education ease.
It is. So our professional learning community work happened before it was adopted by the district. So we were doing the work for years, and it was really exciting and a challenge because we were trying to figure it out. And it was new, and we made so many errors, but the good thing is you learn from your mistakes. And so as we did that, we continued to make the growth we needed and little baby steps. And then in conjunction with using the student goal setting piece from Leader in Me was awesome because then we were involving students. Now that's kind of common practice, but back then it was kind of a new topic. And so we were really trying to mesh the two together. So we did become, after years, a model PLC at work school. Very proud of it. We found that our just student results every year kept going up. And we also, because we had been recognized for the 2, we might as well go for the lucky 3. And we went for A+ School of Excellence and ended up getting that as well. So we were recognized, I think, for our hard work that we were doing. And it was the right work to get our kids learning and making progress.
Sounds great. And that was something that you were celebrated and your team were celebrated from the district perspective as well as the state and some national recognition. So Talk a little bit about your next journey. You came to the district office to help us out for a year, and now you're headed to a different location.
Yes.
Talk about this next journey.
Yeah, so I did have the opportunity to step into the district position last year as the lead instructional coach. It was really exciting for me because I got to see what was happening at other campuses. When you are a campus leader, sometimes you don't have those opportunities to see. So stepping into that role, I got to go visit other schools and work with their instructional coaches to help them. I also, you know, the admin are my peers, and so I had opportunity to help support them as well. So it was a great year, but what I was missing was kids and the impact that I could make. Like, that was a little bit of a change for me, not having the impact that I know that we really want to make. And so stepping into Constitution was a great fit this year. They were a model PLC years ago. They've kind of swayed from some of those practices. And so having that experience, I think it was a good fit just stepping back in and the perfect timing to go in and help them get back on track and to really get them, getting kids in a better place.
Have you thought about your, first 90 days, what it's going to look like, and you're going to hit the door running? What plans do you have for Constitution?
So the really cool thing is the staff, a lot of them have been there for a long time, and they're excited. So I think we can go a little faster than we have than we did with Mountain Shadows, because a lot of them have some background knowledge. And so with their willingness, they're ready to jump aboard. And so the first 90 days, we're going to really hit the ground hard and just start working on those systems and getting the systems in place, whether it's the behavior systems, the academic systems, the systems of support that we need to have in place. We have students that need intervention. And so really thinking about how do we get everybody working on the same page together to get that boat going ahead.
Talk a little bit about the secret sauce for moving a district or moving a building. You've done it once.
Yeah.
Are you looking to do it again? What's the secret sauce?
Yeah. So I think it's having clarity. I think part of the PLC at work process that I really love is we're not just working on student learning, we're working on the adult learning. And so what is it that the adults need to help them be more successful? So everybody having clarity on those processes, understanding what it is they're teaching, when we're teaching, how we're teaching, just having all of those consistent systems in place, I think that's going to be that first 90 days of just really getting on a good page.
Sounds great. So it sounds like we're going to be signing Constitution up for some more awards here pretty soon.
I'm ready.
Make it happen. We're excited that you're the new Constitution principal. We're looking forward to the changes and the speed, warp speed, that I'm sure things are going to happen. So keep up the great work, and thanks for helping me out on the podcast.
Yeah, great to be here. Thank you.
Helping make things a little easier for Dr. Gilbert and her teachers and students is working in a nice, cool, comfortable environment. It takes a lot of energy to cool or heat a classroom in an entire school campus. We also want to be wise in how we use that energy so the district can save money and be responsible to the environment while also keeping our students and staff comfortable. There's a lot of energy that goes into energy management at DVUSD. And here to share more of how it's all done is Manager of Facilities, Jeremy Bouchon.
I've been in the district for about 24 years. So I've also went to school, starting from Greenbrier to Desert Sky to graduating from Deer Valley High School.
Wow, so you're a local kid. Love it. Good, we love the comeback kids. Talk a little bit about energy management in our energy usage here in Deer Valley. This is a big operation with multiple buildings. So how do we manage our energy in this arena?
So as you're probably aware, utilities is the second biggest expense for the district, right behind staffing. So we want to make sure that what we are doing and the strategic plans that we're putting in place will then help us lower those expenses. So we meet monthly as a utility management group. We look at all different types of things. We look at, our APS bill. We look at, the about six different jurisdictions for water as well. So we also have solar sites. Those are going to be at the high schools. They're also going to be at Park Meadows and they're also going to be at Desert Mountain. The only two that we own would be Deer Valley High School and Park Meadows. So we watch those very carefully because that helps us offset that utility bill.
So it's no different than really at home. When you look at your bill and say, hey, we don't need to have all the lights on at 4 o'clock because that's
right.
when it's prime.
That's peak time. Yes.
That's peak time. So yeah. I think two, part of your job would be to recognize when we need to replace something versus when do we keep putting that old bulb in there? Do we put a new digital one in there? Does it save money over time versus the cost? Talk a little bit about the new technologies and when and how do we decide when to put those in and does it work and et cetera.
So I'll use an example of Deer Valley High School. So that solar was put in 2009. So it's 2009 technology. So the inverters over there are getting old, starting to break down. We're not generating enough, you know, utilities on that. So we see that we need to then replace those inverters. Well, the inverters that are in there right now are 4 foot by 6 foot and 4 foot deep. So the new ones with today's technology is going to be 4 foot by probably 3 foot by 4 foot. So a lot smaller footprint. But we're also going to get the same amount of electricity generation that we did when we first put the system in, which is 1 million megawatts of power.
Wow. Talk a little bit about, again, the technology. I'm assuming in our machine, a lot of our lights shut off at when nobody's in the room. You can see that when you walk around and a classroom light suddenly goes off. So talk a little bit about the energy management side using computers and technology in that arena.
So part of my job is I look at the mechanical side of everything, and then we have a utility manager that's with the district. And his sole job is to make sure that within this EMS system that the times are put in there of when the lights should come on, when the lights should go off, when the air conditioning should start up in the morning. Should we bring the whole school up at one time or do we stag that throughout time to slowly bring it up so we don't peak on the utility side? Those are a lot of things that we discuss in the utility management meeting that we have monthly. My big role in that is to look at the actual equipment. So we look at life cycles of the equipment. How long should this piece of equipment last for? Are we doing our preventive maintenance to it? And then from there we'll look at it and we'll say, yeah, we've done all we can, and then we just need to then replace.
So you can control the whole district from terminals is basically what you're saying?
Correct. Yep.
So what does that look like? Do you just log on every day, or do you have computers watching computers?
So our utility manager logs in the morning. He looks at everything. If he sees any anomalies or any alarms, he will contact us. We'll go out and put the eyes on it and then relay the information back to him.
So it's a partnership as you do the mechanical side, make sure it works,
yep.
And then they make sure it's managed correctly and timed correctly.
Correct.
And so obviously most of this was probably installed during our bonds. Mm-hmm. So we struck out on our last bond. And so as we can't replace our items as fast as we usually did, the good news is Deer Valley's done really well with its resources and been able to manage it well over the years. So as the dollars dry up in the district, do you foresee a future where we'll have to make some tougher choices?
Yes, I do see that right now. We're going to have to reach out and look at different avenues of bringing in money. One of those that we've already started to look at is the school facility division, which is part of the state. So, you know, they will send us some funds as we start to see that we need it, and we can justify to them that we do need those funds, those grant funds.
All right. Talk a little bit about the students' role in this arena. Obviously, do we have any students that we do? Do you go speak to kids, or does anybody in the machine do education with students or the staff, or what's that side look like?
So usually, what we do to educate is we let the plant foremans know. So we have a plant foreman on every site. We let them know in plant foreman meetings, hey, this is what we're looking at utility-wise, make sure. Where we see an issue is those campuses that have exterior doors to the outside. We see a lot of those being propped open, which then we're pushing all the cold air out, bringing the hot air in. So that runs up the utilities quite a bit as well.
Okay, so when you talk to principals,
yep.
They can talk to teachers who can make sure their doors are being shut, students propping open doors, that kind of stuff. In Arizona, obviously when a door is open, that's a big money.
Yes. With part of our commercial HVAC units, we do bring in fresh air from outside, and then it's conditioned and then pushed into the classroom. Depending on a lot of different things, the O2 in the classroom, because we do have O2 sensors in the classroom, so if we need to purge more air or less air, we can do that with the systems that we have in place right now.
So when people prop open their doors, it actually messes up our computer system.
Correct. It defers what the machine should be doing to actually cool the classroom, so it makes it work harder.
Okay. Because I know when I go out and I try to get to 500 classrooms a year and have been successful, I go around shutting doors all day long.
Thank you.
It sounds like we need to get more people involved, because I do see probably on every campus there's a dozen doors open.
Yeah.
And people either want to see the outside, or they want to feel the fresh air, or they want it to be super, super cold in there. Well, what it does is it's really hard on the machine, and it kind of messes up the computer and how it's supposed to be regulating the airflow.
Correct.
That's good to know. It's no different than home. You don't. Nobody at home keeps their front door open.
That is correct.
But they do at work.
So another thing on the energy management side is we have things called set points. So that's the set point of the temperature within the classroom. And when you're in occupied mode, which is during the school year, those temperatures will be anywhere between 72 and 75 degrees. So the thermostat on the wall, you can be able to adjust that. So those are your set points for the school year.
Okay.
So unoccupied mode is what we're running right now because it's summertime. And those unoccupied temperatures run at 83 to 85 degrees Fahrenheit. And what we're trying to do there, the strategy is to reduce the amount of time that AC unit is running. So what we do is we'll allow that. So typically, depending on, outside temperatures, they'll run anywhere between 2 to 5 hours per day. Versus if we were in occupied mode, those units would be running 12 to 20 hours a day, largely depending on what the outside temperature is.
Right, right. And probably high schools are mini cities, and they have kids in there all the time, so they run obviously a little longer too as well. So from a staff perspective, the best thing they can do to help us is to keep their door closed so the system can manage it.
Correct.
And students can help us there as well. Community members can help us too. If they're visiting the campuses and they see doors open, let the principal know, or go ahead and close it themselves when they walk by it. Okay, well, thanks for all that you do to manage our systems here, making sure the equipment works well so our students can learn in a good environment, and appreciate you, and thanks for being a Deer Valley comeback kid.
Thank you.
So teachers, do us a favor and keep those classroom doors and windows closed. It not only helps with school security, but it keeps the machines cooling the DVUSD machine so everyone in class is comfortable and ready to learn. When you're ready to listen to past episodes of the Soup Scoop podcast, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, or at dvusd.org/soupscoop. And we'll have plenty more to come this school year as we meet more of our new principals and pull back the curtain on all good things happening in the district. I'm Dr. Curtis Finch, and you're all caught up with the Soup Scoop podcast.